Now, we have a clinical trial which actually is using four cycles of brentuximab vedotin plus doxorubicin vinblastine dacarbazine. And we had four cohorts, two of which got involved site radiation therapy, standard radiation therapy, 20 gray, 30 patients, 30 gray, 30 patients. And a third cohort got what they call consolidation volume, or what we have called residual site radiation therapy, which I'll get into in a minute, and a fourth cohort is just receiving chemotherapy. So we're on the fourth cohort, and so currently on a clinical trial, everybody in our institution is treating with four cycles of brentuximab vedotin plus AVD. And they are doing treatment planning for the different types of radiation therapy, theoretic ones, even in the group that's just receiving chemotherapy.
So, yeah, sort of an obvious question, which is if a patient like the same one you just described presents today and they are not eligible to be in a clinical trial, what therapy would you likely utilize?
The standard, as far as I'm concerned, would be six cycles of ABVD, for which there is experience and data. And then I would do a PET scan, and if the PET is negative, I would not give radiation therapy.
What do you think a randomized trial, if there is one, of, I call it BV-ABD versus ABVD in this situation would show?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was at the International Symposium on Hodgkin Lymphoma, the 11th one in Cologne, and a trial was conducted by the LISA group in France for early stage unfavorable patients. And actually, about 60% of these patients had bulky disease, so a lot of bulky patients. It was a randomized phase two in which one arm received four cycles of ABVD, interim PET, and regardless received radiation therapy, and the other arm received four cycles of brentuximab vedotin plus AVD, four cycles and radiation therapy, also with an interim PET. And the primary endpoint was the PET positivity with the interim PET. And what they found was that there was about a 10% higher percentage of patients who were PET negative in the brentuximab vedotin plus AVD group as compared to the ABVD group, suggesting that maybe brentuximab plus AVD could further improve the 91% we saw with ABVD in early stage. It could further improve it. So I think brentuximab vedotin plus AVD is not approved for early stage Hodgkin lymphoma, but I think there are clinical trials and it might eventually be used in the earlier stage setting.
I mean, I guess you could say that's not a big surprise, those results you described, correct?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about advanced stage disease. Yes, there is a better PFS, though not very large, in advanced stage disease for brentuximab vedotin plus AVD versus ABVD. So I guess in early stage, it's not surprising that there may be a higher response rate.
You know, it's interesting. We're doing a big project right now on breast cancer in the adjuvant setting. And, you know, you see these situations where people choose between therapies that, you know, there's maybe a 1 or 2 or 5% difference and kind of means a lot. You know, here's a situation, too. I mean, relapse in this situation is not a great thing to go through. But we'll see, I guess, how the trial data and how the practice evolves in this regard, though, huh?
Well, I think one difference between breast cancer and Hodgkin lymphoma is that salvage treatment is highly curative, and it may not even require intensive chemotherapy with transplant, maybe just even radiation therapy. So we have more of a more wiggle room.
Absolutely.
With Hodgkin lymphoma.
No, I brought that same thing up, and you know, the Hodgkin people said the same thing. But to me, the thing that is similar is the fact that, you know, you do see that patients can understand some of this numeracy. I mean, you know, it is a little bit tricky and it's, you know, important to try to explain it to them. But, you know, these shades of difference, there are a lot of patients who are at least interested in learning about it. How about if I say that?
Very good.